I thought I would throw off some controversy right off the bat. As we celebrate our mothers and we celebrate Mother's Day, and the first thing that you see on the screen is negatives. So I was thinking Mom's going to be stressed out, thinking all the things I felt she should have done better when I was being raised. But that's not what we're going to be talking about today. We are blessed to have mothers, and we're blessed to have fathers. We're blessed to have brothers and sisters in our family, aunts and uncles and cousins, and all the people that make up the relationships that we have in our lives. And without them, sometimes we may not be able to get along very well, but the most important relationship that we have is with God, and the second most important relationship we have is with our brothers and sisters in the Church of God, in the Church of Christ, and that relationship is so important. And one of the things that we can take away from that, and the idea of negativity, is pulling things out of place sometimes and can cause darkness. And we're going to be looking at some things today. A lot of today's lesson, I think you'll recall the last few that I've done, has been kind of that scratching deeper into the surface of some of the passages in the Bible scriptures that we've often gone back to. Today I spent most of my time digging for a non-biblical source that talks about the very things that sometimes Christians struggle with. Negativity in our lives, and it's certainly a difficult thing. As I say almost every time that I've had an opportunity to speak with this congregation, the very struggle that all of us go through is trying to get through life, trying to get through our family relationships, trying to get through our work relationships, trying to get through our health relationships or our health situations, and just some of the adversity that we face. I smile a little bit. I know Kyle's had some really good images on his PowerPoints lately, and if you get too dark with this screen behind me, sometimes you can't even see it. That's the way this is here. I can see negative fine, but I can't see the S at all. I can in the back, so I don't know if you can see that or not. But negatives is what we want to be looking at today, but taking away from that is the negative part of that. So let's look at some things. It's been a while since I've gone back to the definition part of the lesson, so I've got quite a few of them on here, but I think they're all valid. And as we look at the idea of negativity, I want to focus on all these definitions, and they're from a perspective of a noun and a verb and other things too. But as you look at these definitions, just go ahead and make regular sense out of it, just physical sense out of it. But also, I want you to keep thinking about the spiritual side of all this, because as we get to the very end of this, that's what we'll be hitting the most of. So taking some definitions from negative or from negativity from the Merriam-Webster's Dictionary online, got that cited there. Number one I've got there is denoting the absence or the contradictory, which I think seems like it's out of place there grammatically, should be the contradiction of something. So if you have something and you take something away from it, then that is the negative part of that. I've got further down in one of my points here on the fourth slide talking about this, but in my mind I keep seeing this over and over again. There's a lot of teachers in this congregation. There's a lot of parents and grandparents and aunts that have worked with kids to try to do fun things in their Bible studies. And a lot of times the kids really enjoy taking those hole punches. And you give them a job to do and they sometimes kind of get out of control with the hole punches. Sometimes the teachers and the parents get a little bit worn out with that, because that hole puncher sometimes will make your hands sore from having to do it. But I want you to think about negativity. Anything that you have, whether it's a picture or a piece of text or anything, every hole that's punched in there is a negative spot inside there. And we'll talk about that more in just a moment. But number one, denoting the absence or the contradictory of something. Number two, lacking positive qualities. So if I have things that I do really well and there's some things that I don't do very well, you will see those as negatives for me, negative behavior. If your kid is really good and they're just like one of the best kids, then people are like, ah, that boy or that girl is so well behaved. I'm so impressed with you as a parent. You do a great thing. But then that kid bites people at the end of class, or they like to damage things. It's like, oh, that's a negative quality. So just those kind of things is what goes through our minds. Number three, the definition from Merriam-Webster says negative or negativity is marked by features of hostility, withdrawal, or pessimism that hinder or oppose constructive treatment or development. I think probably the best way for me to think about this, and you would probably, those of you that like to grow plants or like to grow gardens, could think about this, is that what that definition is you've got plants coming up and they're doing well, but Is it getting too much sun? Has it gotten too much water? Is it in a bad spot? Is the soil bad? Those are negative things causing the growth of that to fail. I think they talk about a lesson last year about trees that grow up in the woods. And sometimes you go hiking on a trail and you see a tree that the uniformity of the shape of the tree is just very distorted. And you can tell at some point as it was growing up, it ran into something and it couldn't go any further. And so it just grew around it. How many times have you seen that? Sometimes trees get very large and they've actually got whatever that obstruction was very high in the branches. That negativity was impeding or causing the growth of that tree to fail. Fourth definition, having more outgo than income. For those financiers of our congregation, and there's a number of them, just think about that. We all deal with that. Even if we're not a tax advisor or we don't work at a bank or anything like that, all of us are bankers to some extent. We know how much money we make, we know how much money we pay in bills, and we know how much we have in savings. Anything that we pay, whether it's a bill or with going out to eat or giving something away, that is outgo, as his definition shows here, or a negative impact on there. And if you're like me, when you have a bank statement, if you still do bank statements, you'll have a lot more minuses than you will pluses. You might get paid once a week or once every 2 weeks, but after that, is everything subtracting from that? Those all are the negatives. Point number five. Extending or generating in a direction opposite to an arbitrarily chosen regular direction or position. So again, we brought this up many times. If you're going somewhere on vacation and you have a freeway that you're supposed to be on or a state route that you're supposed to be on and you take the wrong one, and especially if you take one that goes the opposite direction, that is a negative impact on your trip. And so that's kind of the idea there. Oops, let me turn this back on. I broke it, Nick. There we go. Number six, directed or moving away from a source of stimulation. So again, if you have a plant that's growing towards the sun, that's a good thing. But what happens if a window, you've got an indoor plant and you close the window or you shut the blinds? That plant's saying, I am trying to reach the sun. I cannot grow. Photosynthesis is not going to happen if I don't have light. And you cut that light source off, that plant will die very quickly. And we've seen that, many of us that have indoor plants, you get them a little bit too far from the windows, or in the wintertime, get them a little too close to the cold, and they're like, I can't do this. I'm not going to grow anymore. I'm going to die. And so that's kind of the idea with number six. And number seven, a reply that indicates the withholding of assent. So assent is a positive direction. It's in a growth. It is a maturity type of thing. But a reply that does that negatively is almost like something... Have you ever maybe walked into a, I've done this many times, being tall, many times we've gone on the trail and I may have 10 people in front of me, but being tall, more, taller than most everybody else, spiderwebs seem to always stay where my face is. And I walk down the trail and then I hit a spiderweb, I'm like, ah, and I slow down trying to get out of that. Well, that spiderweb is negatively impacting me. Or more so, what if there was a snare laid across that trail or something like that? That would impede me and make it impossible for me to progress. So some synonyms. We're going to kind of get into a little bit of English today. Synonyms kind of go along, or ideas that are kind of match the word that you're talking about. So some synonyms of negativity or negative. Adversarial, adversary. So a person could be both adversarial in behavior, and they could be an adversary to progress. Antagonistic. They're antagonizing you. They're somebody that's always there thwarting your progress. Antipathetic, hostile, inhospitable. Inimical, jaundiced. We typically only use that word for kids, maybe when they've just recently been born and they've had issues with their health and their body just isn't quite working properly. You see that yellow color in the kids, and it certainly scares parents. It certainly scares a lot of the relatives. But thankfully, God has given us a lot of technology with regard to children and child development. But as long as they have that look, they have to put them in special care in order to take care of them. Mortal, just very interesting that word would be used, unfriendly and unsympathetic. So what are some antonyms that you can use? These are words that mean the opposite of what you're talking about. Well, what's some opposites of negativity? Friendly, hospitable, non-antagonistic, non-hostile, and sympathetic. So question to all of you as we go through here, what are some things that we ordinarily would be very attractive or ordinarily be very attractive or nice that can be ruined by something negative? I talked about earlier taking a picture and punching holes in it, but here's some other things you might think about. What about a white dress with a black spot? or a white shirt for that matter. I've talked about that a number of times from the pulpit. If you look really good and you're going to a formal event and you're cleaned up and you look good, and then you just maybe, most of us that like coffee and tea, they have a way of showing up on your shirts, don't they? Shirts and dresses. And what a great presentation it does. I think Kyle could probably vow to this. No, he likes coffee too, but I wonder how many times he's got up in front of a whole bunch of people to talk, or maybe on Zoom, and he's been looking good, and then there's something that says, everybody pay attention to this. Well, sometimes that'll completely derail whatever good thing that he's got to say. You may be anybody. Could be the president of the United States, and maybe a mother or father, or somebody at work, a president of your company. They may have things that you absolutely have to say, but there's something distracting you that's on them, and that is taking away from whatever their message is, and that taking away is negativity. Another thing, a fast car with a flat tire. You may have a supercar that could do amazing speeds, but that flat tire will cause that car, first of all, not to perform up to its maximum level, but also could cause that car to completely be wrecked and not perform well. For some reason, this presentation is slow. I noticed that earlier. What about a show car with rust? You go down to Cincinnati and you go to one of these big car shows, or Dayton, or maybe you go up to the North American International Auto Show in Detroit. It's kind of been impacted by COVID the last couple years, but you want to see some amazing cars. Those are the places to see them. But what if you went to a car and had been very hyped up by the media, and you went and looked at it, and there's a big rust hole in there? Most people would only see that rust hole, and we've all had cars. Maybe those of us that like cars, or we like things in our house that look good, maybe it's our homes, and there's just one soft spot in the wood, or maybe there's a hole in the porch, or something like that. Those can take away from the beauty of the rest of it. What about a beautiful man or a woman with a deformity? I know we live in a time where people are very cautious about this, and they try not to let those things distract them, but it's true. If you see somebody that has maybe a missing leg, a missing arm, or their face is distorted, it's hard not to see those things, and it's a distraction, and it is a takeaway, something that takes away from what else they might have to show. Maybe a beautiful painting with a smudge. Maybe some of us have drawn things, or we've illustrated things, and there's one little accident that happens, and it takes away from that too. This is probably more important to me than it is to some of you, but I love apples, I love peaches, and I love nectarines, but I only like them fresh, and I only like them firm. If they have soft spots and bruises in them, I'm like, ugh, I can't do it, or I'll have to cut holes into them to get it out of there. And I'll sometimes just not even take the fruit because of that bad spot. A lot of other people are like that too. So some things about negativism. Negativism can bring down, it slows, it diminishes, it retards, it halts, makes weighty, darkens, thwarts, saddens, hurts, discourages, and takes away from. These are just some definitions that I have. And this is not for any one person. This is for all of us. I've dealt with this. I've done it to other people. And all these things are things that have come from me. Positivism, on the other side, and pay attention to these words. I've tried to give the opposite of what I mentioned before. Positivism lifts up. It speeds up. It increases. It lifts, again, apparently I'm saying the same thing over and over again, lightens the load, brightens, it gets around, it makes happy, it heals, it encourages, and it adds to. Think on this. And this passage, is, I think I've mentioned before, I think has more to tell us than we sometimes give it credit for. I've said so a couple times last year. But think about negativity. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." So much said in this, and so much more than I think we understand. And again, I think there's the study, and one day hopefully the answers to talk to God about is going to be very important. But I think it's important that we see that everything before God got involved with the creation of life on this earth, everything was negative. The earth was without form. That's a negative. It was void. That's a negative. Darkness was there. That's a negative. But then it contrasts that and it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And I want you to think about that. As we go through all these things, we're talking about spiritual things. They're always above the ground. They're above in the air. One of the things I had planned on talking about today, and I changed my mind on this, was the birds and the power wires. We've seen this so many times. You drive down the road, you look up on a power wire, and I don't care how much power there is on there. You go by Caesar's Creek, And you can see those transformer lines, and those things have probably got the most power of any of the transforming lines in the area. Yet there will always be buzzards sitting up on them, sunning themselves. Sometimes many of them. Sometimes we go through town, and when you get into Waynesville or Springboro or Xenia, Wilmington, there may be 100 birds on the top power line. And you know that there's gobs of voltage up there. It could kill all of them. How are they okay? Well, there's nothing taking that energy that's up there and making it arc from point to point. It's a positive line, so there's no voltage whatsoever. And that's, I want you to keep thinking about that as well, because when we're thinking about God, where God is, over and over again, in Old Testament and New Testament, Scripture reminds us to focus, to get our minds in a place where God is, not on this earth. This is the grounding point. This is the negative impact of everything. God is not here. We need to be thinking about that. So just something to think about there. So the article that I found, and like I said, I spent a lot of time looking for an article like this to make some comparisons to. We're going to go through with these 15 differences of positive people and negative people, but I'm going to put a passage on each one of these, and we're going to look at what Scripture teaches us, and I pray that the time spent was worthwhile and helpful to all of us. So it begins off and says, as you know, it is a drastically different experience being around positive people versus negative ones. If you are striving to be more positive yourself, here are 15 ways you can do so. And again, I said, all of us have some measure of need for this. And like I said, and some Bible passages to help you do that. So, number one, they have down in the article, failure is a part of learning. So that's the idea of it. They say positive people view failure as an opportunity to learn and get better. They understand that failure is an event and doesn't define who they are. And I think we can all agree with that. I feel like most of these things that are on the positive side, I feel very close to these definitions. So hopefully that means I'm less negative than some of these others. But I think they do a good job of talking about this. They say when you make the point failure is part of learning, it says negative people are emotionally disabled by failure because they allow it to define who they are. And we've seen this in the people that we know, and maybe especially kids especially. They fail to understand that it's part of the learning and growing process. And I love that. Failure. So many times I think those of us that have spent time realizing that if we do something and it doesn't work out, we just say, oh, I'm never going to do that again. Or we could say, what part did I mess up in? And when you find that part that you messed up in, you don't do that same thing again, or you do it better, and that will help you to grow. If you keep hitting that same wall and you walk around it, you're never going to improve. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So again, sometimes we've run into things as Christians, but it's our faith and trying to work that out to get around it. I love the one verse, and I didn't have it written down today, but it talks about working out your own salvation. Find out where those blocks are for you to get around and figure out how to get around them properly. Keep working at it. Point number two from the article. I can do hard things. Can all of us say that? Some of us don't want to, but well, can we say that? The article says positive people love to be challenged. I like to be challenged. I like to be tested. They understand that there is no growth without struggle. We've talked about that before. Positive people embrace difficulty and look for ways to overcome them. So again, that idea of hitting a wall, what do you do when you hit there? Negative people love the easy road, or the easy route, as we often think about, because obstacles increase the likelihood of failure. Is that true? Yes, it is. It is easier to just go around and not even mess with something than it is to try to get around those obstacles. I think a parent that's trying to help a kid out in the middle of the night if they're feeling sick or something, and they're walking through a room that's got toys on the floor barefoot, they understand this point really well. Obstacles increase the likelihood of failure. They try to avoid them like the plague. To negative people, hard times don't make you, they break you. And how much is this populated into our environment today? I think right now that's how everybody feels. Oh, it's too hard, I'm just going to stay home. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So how can we as Christians be able to say, number two, I can do hard things? Focus on Christ. Christ has already told us he's been everywhere that you want to go. He's seen everything that you're going to deal with, and he's overcome them all. Fasten your life on him. Point three, I always give my best. Is that something that we can all say? Hopefully it is. It says positive people focus on giving their best effort regardless of the situation. They understand that there are many things they cannot control, but effort is not one of them. I love that point. I can't do a lot of things, but how much effort do I put forward to make that happen? If it's just a little, I'm probably not going to get anywhere. But if I put forward a lot of effort, things will happen. I will learn from it, I will grow, and I may even succeed. No matter what, the positive person strives to give it their best, even if it isn't much. And I love that too. Some of us have the capacity to do amazing things. Some of us don't have that, but we can do things, and that's important. It says negative people want things to come easy to them. If they have to try hard, they believe they just aren't good at it and they just give up. They are more likely to give their absolute best if they know that people are watching them. How many times have we seen that? Maybe we've been guilty of it ourselves. Oh, I can do this. Somebody's looking at me. I'm going to give up when they're gone. That's not what we need to be doing. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with a little bit of your heart, a little bit of your soul, and a little bit of your mind, and a little bit of your strength." Is that what it says? It does not. When point three says, "I will give it my best," that means full tilt activity. I will give God all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. This is the first commandment. So again, it's not God's request, it's a commandment. You've got to pay attention to these things. She or he is inspiring. People may see somebody in their life or at work, and they say, "That person inspires me." What are the two perspectives from a positive and negative person? Positive people are inspired by the success of others. They look at those who are excelling and they ask themselves a question. What can I learn from them? I try to do that. If I see some of you doing things really well, I was like, what are they doing better than I am? Well, they're spending time in Scripture. They're spending time going to meetings. They're spending time with God. Or whatever the task may be, I need to be looking at the tasks that they're doing and how they're succeeding at them and say, am I doing that? It says negative people become jealous and threatened by the success of others. To negative people, when others succeed, it means they are failing. So what's a passage we can look at? 3 John chapter 1, verse 11. "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God." So when you say he or she is inspiring to me, if you're a Christian, who are you imitating? Are you imitating those people that are focused on God or doing what God wants them to do and succeeding? Or are you just giving up and saying, I don't want to do this? Point five, what can I do better? Positive people embrace feedback because they are always striving to get better. They are open to learn anything that will enhance their skill set. What's the contrast? Negative people get offended when they receive correction or feedback. Instead of seeing it as a mean to improve, they interpret feedback as a sign of their incompetence. How true is that? And we probably all felt that. Regardless of whether we consider ourselves a positive person or a negative person, sometimes somebody says something to you and you're like, ugh. And you have no energy left. But the right attitude is the one that says, oh, you're right. I don't do this well enough. I need to work better at it. What's a passage we can use here? Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." The most important word that I've got underlined there is diligently. What can I do better as a Christian? Diligently seek God. If I'm always trying, I'm always going to be making progress. It may be a little, like we talked about earlier in that one point, may not be a lot, but if I keep going forward, I will make progress. And that's one thing that's always amazed me. When I go out on a bike path, I would run, and I would get tired. I don't have a lot of endurance when it comes to running. I can run 5 miles if I'm fortunate, but it usually takes about 3 or 4 times of stopping. Sometimes there's somebody that's a good walker, and they're going much slower than I am, but when I finally get to my point, it's not long before I see them get there. That's because they're just keeping making their progress. That's another good point for us. Point six, I give power to what I focus on. What is that? Positive people focus on things that they can control. Such a great point here. What are you doing? Can you control that? Then that's good. If you can't control it, what should you do about it? They understand that their happiness is dependent on how they choose to respond and to what happens to them. Positive people believe that they give power to what they focus on, so they use it wisely. In opposition to positive people, negative people center their focus on things they can't control. I think all of us can be a negative person in this. What about this? And I got to do something about this, but I have no control over it. For example, they ruminate over past conversations. They beat themselves up on past mistakes. And they allow their fear of the future to stop them in their tracks today. What's a good passage that we can use for this? Romans chapter 8, 6 through 8 is one I thought was useful. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity, or in opposition, contrary to God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Note that. I didn't underline it, but it's an important point. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. This goes right back to my first point about the idea of the birds on the line. If I'm wanting to be in the flesh, I'm wanting to stay on the ground, I want to be on this firmament, but also try to have a connection to God, if I'm reaching up and grabbing that wire, bad things will happen to me. It'll happen to the birds, it'll happen to me, it'll happen to a tree. We can't be both, and the scripture is very good about reminding of that. From the article, point 7 says people can change. Positive people know that the only thing that doesn't change is change. Another great point I think the author of this article point out here. We are always going to be dealing with something new in life forever until we die. They believe that they can change and that other people can change. Negative people believe that people are fixed. Therefore, they don't try to improve because they believe, what's the use? Additionally, negative people don't allow others to change. Once a negative person puts a label on something, it is very difficult for them to see it in a different way. And again, I think all of us can see points on both sides of these things that may be applied to us. Romans 12:2, we're going to be using this twice in my lesson. Right now we're going to be looking at this part about people can change, but I have it down for another one as well. And it says in Romans 12:2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So, what's the problem with a Christian sometimes? That conformity. Everybody else looks like this. Everybody else does this. Everybody else has this attitude. I will get in line and I will do that exact same thing. That is not going to help you make improvement. It is not going to change you. And over in Scripture, the idea of being a Christian is a change. That idea of going from a sinful person to one that Christ died for requires change. Point 8. I still have a lot to learn. Such a great attitude to have. Positive people love to learn. They understand that information evolves and what used to work 10 years ago might not be effective today. Negative people believe that they know it all and are less likely to welcome new information if it contradicts what they believe. How many times has that applied to some of us? I don't think that's the way to do it, so it's not right. They care less about what's right and more about who's right, and that's a dangerous place for us to be. Ephesians chapter 2, 20 and 22 says, "Having been built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows in a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." This idea of saying having a lot to learn. We can all be stones in a quarry and just sit there and be stones in a quarry all of our lives. But until we move our minds, move our bodies, move our actions into a place that is a place of construction, a place that is built for God, knit with other people trying to do the same things, we are not going to be able to realize this point. Point 9, let's go big. I like this one real well. A positive person isn't afraid to swing for the fences, baseball and softball comment here, because they don't fear striking out. You don't get out there and ready to bat and say, okay, I can do this. I've got this. There's bases loaded and we got one out left and the game's going to be over. I am going to make this happen. You have an attitude of saying success, success, success. But the negative person not only thinks small, they also try to convince others that their dreams and aspirations are too big. That would be the person on the baseball team going out there like, I don't know why I'm here. I know the bases are loaded. I'm going to get that last out. There's no use me being here. Don't be that person. A passage we can use, 2 Peter 1, 10 through 11. "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For For if you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you. I love this. Again, we're scratching deeper onto some of these passages. It doesn't say an entrance will be supplied to you. It says an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly. Think about that. Into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's not a little tiny door for Roger Starnes to just barely squeeze through. This idea of abundantly, it's made enormous. And it's available for me if I do that thing that it just said. Make my call and election sure. Point 10, have you heard about, insert name, could be anybody that I'm talking about, somebody at work, a friend, family member, neighbor, whoever it is. How do we react to this? It says positive people build others up when they aren't around. Negative people tear people down to make themselves feel good. Passage we can use to think about that. Proverbs 11, 12 through 14 says, he who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. So have you heard about a person? Have you heard about this? Have you heard about that? There's two things as a good Christian that we should do. First of all, say, I don't want to hear it. Unless there's an absolute need for somebody to be taken care of right then, we need to back out of those conversations because it is sometimes poisoning to our mind. We want to tell somebody else about that. We talked in class last week about people always getting together to talk about some new thing. Well, that's kind of how humans are, just they're wired that way. Point 11, I am my own worst enemy or best friend. Positive people, says the article, have effective self-talk. They are aware of the story they tell themselves and don't allow their own thoughts to discourage them. Additionally, they are realistic with their expectations. Positive people don't feed themselves lies about their weaknesses or how difficult the situation is. Instead, they tell themselves what they need to do to succeed. That means if I know what I want to do and I don't have the qualifications or the skills to get there, I need to work at that. If any of us want to do anything that we always wanted to do, it won't happen unless we make the time to do that. I would like to ask how many people have always wanted to play the piano or play the guitar or play those well? And most of us would probably say, I've always wanted to play an instrument. Well, how many years have you taken time to study? Even if it's not a lot of time, have you taken time to study? And most of us will say no. Same point. I'm my own worst enemy or best friend. Negative people are their own worst enemy. They struggle to see the bright side of anything, even if they are successful. They are also masterful at focusing on all the negative aspects and diminishing their own confidence. Sometimes we're like that, all of us. We just, I can't do this. Roger, how about doing this? Nah, I've never done that. I'd rather not. Well, sometimes we need to get out of those modes. 2 Peter 1, 5-7 says, But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, not a little bit, all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge self-control perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and finally brotherly kindness, love. Talked about that passage many times, but it really should be something that's just ingrained in our lives. Point 12, what is my body saying? Positive people carry themselves like champions. They are purposeful in the way they interact with people. Their facial expressions show positivity. I'm smiling, I'm happy, I'm relaxed, I'm encouraging, I'm approachable. Negative people carry themselves small. They hang their heads, they look down. Just by looking at them, you would think that they are mad or sad or indifferent, definitely not happy. Which person do you tend to go to? Is it the first one or is it the second one? And most people would say it's not the second one. A passage we can look at, Titus 2, 1 through 10 says, But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, and pay attention to the people I've underlined, it pretty much covers all of us, reverent, temperate, sound in faith and love and patience. The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given much wine, teachers of good things. That they admonish young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed. having nothing evil to say of you. Imagine all of us having that quality. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, showing good fidelity, that they may adorn themselves the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Point 13, teamwork makes the dream work. Because they are team players, positive people, says the article, will get behind and support ideas that are not theirs. Some people don't like that, even if they might disagree with it. Negative people have a hard time fully supporting ideas that they feel won't be successful. When an idea that wasn't theirs doesn't succeed, they are sure to give their teammates the "I told you so" expression. And again, I think all of us have seen this in our lives, individually and in people around us. Ephesians 4:11 starting says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to be a perfect or complete man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Continuing on, "that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share," so important right there, "causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." 14. The article says, "What's the bright side? Positive people have an attitude of gratitude. They can see good in a situation and don't take things for granted. Negative people struggle to see the silver lining in a difficult situation. They don't often take the time to stop and notice the positive aspects of a situation." And we talked about this verse earlier, but look at what I've got underlined now. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Renewing of our mind. Don't focus in on what you see. Focus in on what can be made out of it. And finally, point 15, you're so good. Positive people like to spread positivity. They pay close attention to when others do well, and they are quick to tell them. So important. Negative people say, "Why would I compliment people for the things they are supposed to do?" What they don't understand is, it's not about the compliment. It's about showing the other person that you notice them. Such a great, great point. Again, I love this article. A simple compliment can strengthen relationships and motivate the person to do even better. Positive people don't underestimate the power of encouraging words. It's good for us to give, but it's better to get back, isn't it? When you've done something that you feel was measurable and something that was hard for you, and one person notices that and says, "That was awesome. Thank you for doing that, Roger. How do you feel?" I think all of us would say, "I feel great. I want to do it again because of that." James 13:14 says, "Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth." So as we get wrapped up here, are you encouraging progress, growth, and maturity? Or are you setting others backwards? Luke 6, starting with verse 36, "Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." This is such a great picture, and I love so many of the words in Luke's gospel. It is so seems like it's so well written for me, and maybe for you as well. So I wrote down on here, full disclosure, we can't get into others' minds and live and other minds and lives on the spot. And I think this is one thing that we struggle with as Christians and probably the people that we work with and see day to day. Sometimes we assume that their reaction or their actions are based on what we think they're dealing with. I've asked them to do something and they've not done it, and it's because of this. Well, they may have something going on behind the scenes that is completely out of context for what you're thinking. Philippians 2, starting with verse 14, says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless." So what does that mean? Well, that means I'm blameless, I'm blamed and harmful if I'm not doing these things. "Children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day, Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." And also Colossians chapter 3, starting verse 12, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering." So that means those things are not already on us. We have to wear them. We have to put them on. "Bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." So some takeaways from this. Negativity is destructive and discouraging for me, for all of you. There's somebody that will be impacted by that. Positivity, on the other hand, builds up and encourages. It doesn't matter what measure of positivity you offer somebody. If you see a little bit of progress in somebody and you tell them, "Hey, I saw that," that will increase their positivity. That will increase their awareness that I did something good and people are recognizing that. That should not be our driver. We should be doing that for God. But it doesn't take away the fact that doing things around others is helpful. I have this quote on here. My friend Brian, he used to bowl on a bowling team, a league that I was in when I was in college, and I was actually a close friend. I still talk to him regularly and see him regularly, but he got Katie a little t-shirt when Katie was born. It says, "My attitude hinders my game," because we used to joke about that. And when we bowled, he said, "My attitude hinders my game." And Brian can be a dark person. He lets a lot of the world get down on him, but he's such a great guy. But I love that quote, and I stole it from him because that really is something I think all of us can wear. My attitude can hinder my game. If I feel negativity or I feel negative about everything around me or about my life or what's happening to me, everything's going to be like this. I'm going to feel weighted down. But trying to get out of that is so important, and it really does, ours and those around us. Point four, when it shows up. So what type of person would you follow or be drawn to? We talked about a positive person, a negative person, and the types of attributes each of them have. Would they be sour, harsh, frowning, dissatisfied, unhappy, looking for problems or issues, or is one who regularly complains? Or are you looking for someone that's upbeat, gentle, smiling, content, happy, looking for solutions? I think I talked about this in one of my lessons a year or two ago, talking about not a whole lot about John Lennon that I have a whole lot of happiness for, other than the fact that he was a Beatle and wrote some amazing songs and sang well. But one of his songs has a lyric that says, "There's no problems, there's only solutions." And that has stuck with me for probably 5 or 10 years now, and I love that because it is such a Christian mentality. There are no problems. We're all going to face things. What's the solution? God's the solution. How do we work with God to get around all problems? So that's important for us to think about. Romans chapter 13, 11 through 14 says, "And do this, knowing the time that is now high time to wake out of sleep." Sleepy people are not people that are active and doing positive things. "For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." That's a lesson for today. I may have gone a little bit long today, but I pray that the thoughts have been useful for us. I pray that all of us remember that we are all positive and negative people. It's up to us to measure which one of those things most exude from us. Are we more positive or are we more negative? We have to look at those things, and then we have to remember over and over in those passages, God said, "I am positive, I am always positive, I am only negative when you do something wrong, but I want you to be like me." So what does that tell us? I encourage you to think about the things that are in the lesson today. If there's any need that you can share with the congregation, or if you're not a Christian, there is the most abundant way to be positive, and that is to accept Christ. He died for you. Everything written in the Bible was written for you, for me, for us to be obedient to Christ and to be part of the kingdom that is going to make it to heaven. Think about those things today, and if there's any needs, please let those be known as we stand and sing.